You're listening to the City World Radio Network, high-definition digital radio broadcasting from the city to the world, www.cityworldradio.com.
Interrupt that sax solo, it's so good. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Frankie Stick Show live here in New York City at the home of City World Radio and cityworldradio.com. And solo, God bless you. That's Preston sneezing over there. God bless you, my friend.
It's starting to get to me now.
We got the David Letterman temperature in the studio tonight. Anyway, we want to say hello to everybody. Welcome everybody to the show. I want to thank you for listening last week, even though I wasn't here. But the girls and guys did a great job, and we had a lot of fun. And I was down in Nashville recording an album for a friend of mine, and we were at the famed Palm Restaurant in Nashville, right off Broadway. And my friend Pick was our hospitality major, and we had dinner and we had a good time, and we listened to music all over the place, and we went to a place called the Station Inn, which had a live bluegrass band, which was just incredible. And I succumbed. I bought their album, and I recorded them on my phone. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. The Mr. Steve Blaine Band, and we had a great time. Kevin Haley and myself, Steve Blaine, and a singer that lives down there. Her name is Rachel Horder. And she was really terrific. And we had a good time recording for 2 days. We were in the studio. And we got 19 tunes down. And when the album comes out, I'll be sure and have Steve on, and we're going to talk about it.
Rabbi Steve?
That's Rabbi Steve, my man. The man. That was Stephanie. My friend Stephanie Fitro's here. She's my co-host tonight.
Hi.
Welcome
and
back.
Preston's
Thank
over
you.
There engineering. And tonight.
Barely hanging on.
Serious? Yeah.
I didn't hear that cold before now.
No.
You make it through the next 55 minutes?
I can try.
Okay. Anyway. And tonight my special guest is Kim Cameron. And we got a show coming up on November 3rd. We're going to do it together with a bunch of other singers. And we're going to advertise that tonight. We're going to talk about that. And I want to give a plug to my friend Stephanie. I'm sorry. Not you. I'm sorry. Marianne Stefanelli.
For half a second.
I'm sorry, honey. Marianne Stefanelli, who is a dear friend of mine from many, many years ago. And she works for a company called Atlantic Coast Fibers. And you can get a hold of her and check her out. Atlantic Coast Fibers, LLC, and their recycling services. And she was in New York for a while. And we had some fun. We went out to dinner. Three of us is another person who was with us at dinner. It was great fun, and we had a good time. And Marianne, you can reach her. She's a VP of sales at, looks like Mint. What's this? I can't read here. Oh, it says Mint. Mint 339256 at AOL.com. That's Mint 888-333-9256 at AOL.com. And her number is 973-632-8994. 973-632-8994. I want to say hello to her. She's an old friend from way back when I was playing in the Top 40 band, and she would come with her girlfriends, and we'd have a lot of fun doing that kind of stuff. And also want to mention the Hell's Kitchen Jazz Gang. And this is Mike Sergio.
Wow.
and his wife Ischel, and the guitar player Chris Kaiser and Kevin Haley. They're playing Friday the 27th, that's this Friday, at 8:30 at a place called Treehouse Mima. Treehouse Mima, that's 470. Oh. You know it?
Wait, Mima is an apartment complex on 42, right?
That might be where they're playing, I don't know.
I think they might have.
There's a restaurant.
I'm guessing, but I've seen
Mima. Yeah, there's a restaurant and a thing, yeah. And it's called 470 West 42nd between 9th and 10th Avenue. And the group is called the Hell's Kitchen Jazz Gang. And they're very good at what they do. They play at a food market up there. I think this weekend's going to be the last weekend because it's an outdoor market.
He's wonderful. He's a beautiful
Michael's
singer.
A great person. He's a great singer.
He's been on here before, right?
He's been on the show, yeah. We want to thank Michael for coming on the show when he did. Treehouse Mima. And they're there Friday, October 27th from 8:30 to midnight. So catch them. They're great. And singers and musicians are welcome to come and sit in. How about that? So check that out. That's Hell's Kitchen Jazz Gang, Mike Sergio and his wife, Ushel. And I thank them for all their service. They were in Arturo's the other night, which I also want to mention. Arturo's is where I live, basically, five nights a week. Houston Street 106, West Houston, in the village. And you come in there and have great pizza, listen to great jazz. A lot of people come in there, and we have a lot of fun. I want to mention Marion Cowling's class at Smalls on Sunday between 1 and 3. 3:30, and he's a great teacher and a great singer, and he's be glad to have you come to his class. And then Mesro, of course, they have classes there as well. I'm not too sure. I'm not hip to what they're doing there, but they do stuff there, and they do not do the open mic thing anymore. So,
is that different from the jam session?
The jam session is not happening at Smalls,
nor at Mesro.
Not at Mesro. Nothing. No. Aww. But go there because they got great jazz and they got great people and a lot of good people play there. And Buster Williams had a class there a couple of weeks ago.
Wow, Buster Williams.
He actually played with us at the class.
I played with him once.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Many, many years ago.
He's a great guy. What a nice person. Oh, absolutely. So on with the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry for all these mentions, but we have to do that because we want to support our friends in the business and have a good time with them. So Kim Cameron is here. Kim, say hi.
Hello, everybody.
There she is, yeah. Kim Cameron's a singer that I've met through the class. She's been coming, and she's a really, really good singer. And she's got a show that I'm actually going to participate in on November 3rd at the Sidewalk Cafe. That's Avenue A, the corner of 6th Street, the Lower East Side.
Well, so am I.
You're going to do it too. Stephanie's doing it too. Oh, I forgot. Yay. Okay. Yeah. No cover.
What am I, chopped liver over here?
No cover. 2-drink minimum.
And I just played there early this month with my band.
So you did, yeah?
Yeah, Sidewalk Cafe.
Well, it's a popular place.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so now we got all that out of the way. Let's talk to Kim. So, Kim, tell me, where are you from originally? And you're a New Yorker, I guess. Huh?
Well, not exactly. Originally, okay. I think of myself as from East Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay.
That's where I graduated from high school.
Wow.
That's where my mom's people are from.
Yeah.
And as soon as I could get out of Rhode Island, I did. It's a very small state. Nothing going on. Very, very cold.
Yeah.
But my mom's people, there's a lot of them up there. They're all Native Americans from the Wampanoag tribe.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. Very cool. Wow.
And so I went to Pace University as soon as I could get out. And I went there. I lived on campus. This is a while ago. I won't say what year.
<That's>
and
okay.
I majored in business. And then this was at a time when New York was broke. I don't know if you remember that, but the Fed said to New York, drop dead. We're not giving you any money.
Oh, yeah, right. I remember that.
So I left New York. And I made my way to Houston because Houston was hiring.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool.
I love Houston.
I don't know if I like Houston too much. It's very hot, very humid. But I was working in advertising. And that was very exciting. And then I went to Europe. I found a bunch of friends who went to PACE who were in Berlin. And they said it was very interesting. It was at a time when the mark, they were using the mark against the dollar.
What year was that?
1983.
Okay, yeah. Because they were using the mark when I was there, but it was 20 years earlier.
Yeah, okay, right.
And they were still using the mark when I was there. That was in the 90s.
Exactly. So right up until the wall came down almost.
Three exactly. Mark, 70 pfennigs was a dollar.
Exactly, exactly.
And I know that. I know that.
Yeah,
pretty cool. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So I found myself in Berlin, and as it says, you know, in the CD, I was invited to play the Atta Pearl from The Wiz, which is kind of like, the Good Witch of the North, and she kind of does a singing, talking song. And someone suggested to me, well, you should take some private lessons. So I found the Strawberry Woman from Porgy and Bess. Mm-hmm. Porgy and Bess was at the
Tide to Dust Festival. Porgy and Bess.
Yes,
oh my God.
Yes, fabulous. I mean, they should have that in New York. And I studied with her for a couple of years.
Great.
And that's when I decided I wanted to be a singer.
Good for you.
And I kind of made a U-turn because I came back to New York and started with cabaret, where you do a lot of storytelling when you sing. And it wasn't really quite that exciting for me, but it was good for technique, and I met a lot of people. But I was really itching to do jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So then you want to know how I got to jazz?
Tell me how you got to jazz.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you how I got to jazz.
You're going to tell me whether I asked you or not.
Yes, I was.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah, this was a pivotal moment. I found Marjorie Elliott, who is a wonderful jazz pianist up in Harlem, and she has concerts in her apartment.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you heard about her. She's
actually quite
famous. Yeah.
I think so.
Wow.
I'm from Harlem, so yeah.
Okay,
This is
over on Edgecombe Avenue. And
Mm-hmm. All right.
So she has a jazz concerts, and she'll invite the jazz musicians, whoever's available. She plays the piano, and then she just opens the door, and people from all over the world will come and do concerts.
Is it like King Kataki's place? If you know.
Oh, is that in Brooklyn?
No, that's in Harlem too. Yeah,
I don't know that person.
A brownstone, and it's the 103rd Infantry or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, the post.
King Kataki. He's like the host. He does the same sort of thing.
It's a little more intimate than that, Marjorie's, because she only fits about maybe 100 people in her living
room. That's intimate. 100 people.
But they're all close and on
sitting
top
on
of
each other's shoulders.
It's literally, and that's why it's so exciting.
Wow.
Because, yes, it's about 100 people in a small apartment experiencing jazz very intimately. And Marjorie's very gracious. And it makes people feel wonderful and loved and included. And it's been photographed, put on television from all over the world, French TV, Canadian TV. She's actually gotten awards from the city, People's Awards. So I think someone's at the door.
Maybe it's Evelyn.
On to the fight.
I could be Evie. Here she is. Come on, Ev. Welcome to the party.
Hey,
ladies and gentlemen, Evelyn Leong.
Well, we are a full house, but not as full as other houses. We just found out.
So, you know Stephanie?
Hi, Steffi.
Hi.
Get on the mic. Get on the mic.
Get on and put your headset up.
Oh, okay.
El Boogie. El Boogie, get on the mic.
Hey, what's up? Hey, everyone.
Can you hear? Okay. That's Kim.
Hey, hello. Kim.
How are you?
I'm well.
Preston, you know.
Hey, Preston. Nice to meet you.
And this gentleman over here is sitting at the sideline.
That's my nephew, Cody.
That's Cody.
Hey, Cody. Nice to meet you. I thought you were security.
He is.
Yeah. And Steffi and Mr. Frank. Hello.
Hello, sweetie. So here we are, and we're learning about Kim. And she's telling us about how she made the move from Germany to Harlem. And working at Marjorie
Elliott, the jazz pianist in Harlem.
Right.
And so she invited me to do shows. She thought I was good enough. And I would do shows where people would be literally sitting 2 feet away from me without a microphone performing. And so I learned jazz in her living room.
That's great.
Yeah. And I did that for 7 years. And then things changed, and I moved on, and then I didn't sing for a while after my mom died. Mm-hmm. I literally, you know, couldn't sing. Mm-hmm. I would practice in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was difficult. In fact, I know that Lena Horne, the great Lena Horne, when Billy Strayhorn died, they were good friends. She couldn't sing for 10 years.
Yeah.
So it happens. It happens.
Sure.
That stuff's happened. So now you have an album out.
So now I have an album out.
And the album is called?
Bluebird.
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 Okay. Wow. And you can get that how?
On my website. My website is kimcameronjazz.com.
Right.
And you can buy it right there. And I would just like to say very quickly what Bluebird means. So last summer, I have a cousin who is an actual tribal leader with our tribe in New England, and she had a naming ceremony. And my name, Bluebird, is the means a messenger of great spirit.
Wow.
Well, I like that.
So that's I decided beautiful. To name my CD Bluebird.
Well, that's good. This is the first album you've ever done?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, took a long time, but I got it done.
Why don't we listen to something? What would you like us to play?
One Less Bell to Answer.
One Less Bell.
That's very nice.
Marilyn McCoo.
Yes. Yes. And that was something.
Let's listen to One Less Bell to Answer. Beautiful. That was really nice.
Thank you.
That's great. That's a really great tune, too.
One of my favorite.
Burt Bacharach.
Yeah. Love him. Love Hal David. Beautiful arrangement. Just a wonderful, wonderful song.
I took lessons from a guy named Gary Chester. Now, it may mean nothing to you, but to me, he was the drummer for Burt Bacharach. He played on all of those hits.
Wow.
Yeah, he passed away, but he was great.
Yeah.
Took lessons from him.
Yeah.
Used to go to his farm upstate New York and take a lesson.
I think Burt Bacharach's still alive, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Gary's no longer with us.
Really. Yeah. Gorgeous.
But, yeah.
Did you find that when you hadn't sung for such a long time, that when you started to sing again, that your voice had changed in any way? Like, did you feel it was different?
Well, it was 3 years, and I wasn't that aware of it. I was just kind of focusing, you know, because the time when I meant to say is I couldn't sing in public for 3 years, but I was singing in my room.
Yeah.
Sometimes the tears would come, but I was always singing in my room and practicing. So there was never really a time when I stopped. It was just a question of doing it in front of people.
Just keeping it private for the time being.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's, when I sing in my room, people cry.
For you to stop.
It's not because of any sadness. It's because they can't stand the way I
sing. Like the shower.
I didn't want to bring a little bit. Just depressed. Okay. I don't want to be depressed.
It's okay. Yeah.
That's good, though. I'm glad that you came back to sing. That's really terrific.
I am, too. Yes.
We all are.
You know, for some people, singing is therapeutic.
Yeah.
It's like very, you know, very healing. You know,
you got a code in the node over there?
Okay, what?
You got a code in the node?
Code in the, oh, yeah, the, yeah. It's getting to me, man.
You sound different.
Changing of the season.
That's sexy nasal there, Preston.
Yeah. Hey, y'all.
So you came back, you went to Harlem, and you studied with
Marjorie Elliott.
How long is that now?
That was about 7 years, you know, and it was a couple of years after my mom died, and we were there for a long time. I did a lot of shows. And then, you know, we started to move on, and I did a show down at a small coffee shop named Jeezy. And then I went back to school again because I needed to get a better job with more money so that I could produce the CD.
Yeah.
And so I stopped for a couple of more years, but I was always practicing. And then I came back in 2013, and I went into the studio with these musicians who helped me do arrangements.
So tell us who these gentlemen are.
Well, Paul Beaudry is a very special friend of mine, and he did that arrangement that we just heard.
He plays?
Bass.
He's a bass player. Yeah. He's actually, right now, he's going to put a quote for my website. I'm very excited about that.
Okay.
And Bennett Pastor is a wonderful piano player, and he's kind of the partner of...
These are all New York fellas?
Yes. Now, they didn't grow up here. They came, but they are musicians.
They're here now.
They're here now. And you can go online. You can look at their websites, and you can also purchase their music, too. And they're, like, wonderful, melodic, you know, great, great musicians. And Neil Smith is actually famous. He performs with Cyrus Chestnut.
Drummer.
So, the drummer. Mm. Yeah. So he's also on that song. And so we went into Bennett's studio and we laid tracks down, and it took about 3 years because when you're working full time, this is how it works.
Is the studios in the city, in New York?
Well, it's in Brooklyn, in his brownstone.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, Benny's Wash and Go. It's actually listed on the CD where I produced it. And then I worked with, I had the great, I can't remember the guy's name. Anyway, he's a wonderful Japanese engineer who did the mastering with Bennett's help. And then I had a fabulous photographer. She took these gorgeous pictures of me.
Yeah, I see that. Very nice.
Yeah. Janice Wilkins.
Some beautiful pictures. You can't see it on radio, but they're very nice.
Yes. nice pictures. And everything came together, and it has been a culmination of a lot of years and a lot of hard work. And I'm very proud of it. And, there it is.
Congratulations.
There it is. Thank you. Yeah. And
huge.
So
Stephanie's had a lot of experience in doing works in Broadway stuff, and so she knows how difficult it is to get these things done.
Yes.
Well, yeah. But I haven't done that. I haven't self-produced a CD. That's very, very hard to do all the organization. Even if you're not the band leader, ultimately, you have to have that vision and
fortitude.
It's very hard, very hard.
I know. It took a long time, but I had a lot of good people around me who really encouraged me. Dee Daniels is a wonderful jazz singer, and I actually worked with her on the song you just played for interpretation.
Is she singing background on that?
No, she's not, but she helped me with interpretation and just to be a better jazz singer. So it was a lot of people who just believed in me and didn't say no or things like, you should keep your day job. No one ever said that to me.
Well, you know what's surprising in these cases is who will encourage you. And they come out of nowhere. They're like angels, right?
Yes.
And they keep softly urging you along.
Yes.
And then most, I would call it mainstream advice, the keep your day job and the this and the that, those more analytical type people are very
sometimes they actually get a little bit worse. Uh-huh. Just when you're busting out a little bit and actually making things happen, people get very
threatened.
Yeah, people who would normally support you. Actually, I would say it's friends who love to support you when you're down.
Mm, yeah.
And then you start to actually do things and they kind of...
Yeah, there's actually like, quotes about that. It's funny.
It's very subtle, but it's a little bit like, okay, I told you guys I'd let you know. It's very strange.
Well, there's people that will support you when everyone else jumps on board. It's those that it's just when people can't see the... It's the when it's all coming together, that's when you need that encouragement and backup.
I was just talking about that it's process versus product.
Yeah.
And people who only believe in things after they've already been... produced.
Well, that's right.
It's like they have absolutely no faith whatsoever. They never know how to make things happen. It's piece by piece.
But a lot of my Australian friends that are artists, or they're musicians living in Harlem, and everyone flocks to Harlem. It's this. There's something magnetic about it, especially to do with jazz, that genre. And a lot of, you know, I was talking to my Australian friends who are here as singers and musicians, and they've even said, it's funny, it's when you stay authentic and true to what you want, it resonates with other people that feel the same, even if you've just met. So there's a quality of the relationship in that way. So it's probably that kind of dynamic that you
feel. It's interesting that you just, Stephanie, just said process, because I'm a therapist. That is my day job. I'm a social worker. Mm-hmm. So I'm very fascinated with process, even when I'm following politics. I'm very interested in concepts and processes and how things get. So when you talk about a story, I always want to know what was the thought process or what was the action that led to people's behavior, because that's, of course, where you can make the changes when you're talking about therapy. But everything is about process, you know, living life and everything along the way. So that's kind of why in my CD I call it my journey. My singing journey, because it is. It really was about every step of the way.
It really helped me. I think it was 3 years ago. Do you know Eve Haslam? She's only my friend on Facebook, but she's a wonderful jazz singer. And she started this, it was called the Women's Journey, or this Women's Journey in Singing. I don't know. It's like a private kind of Facebook group. But all of these other specifically female jazz singers started to compare notes. Like, do you find that when you're sitting in and this, and this happens? And they go, yeah, and this is what I do. And we all started kind of sharing and giving advice. And it was amazing, because it was all of this kind of thing. It was really process-oriented.
Mm-hmm. Similar experiences. Things to remind you that you were in the same place, and how did you cope? How did you deal? How did you move forward and not get stuck?
And you also learn what not to do.
Yes, very important. Very important.
I will give an example of my singing journey at Arturo's, which is, of course, one of our favorite places.
Okay.
I would notice that when a really good female vocalist goes in there, she will fiddle around with the sound system. And nobody, not even my best friends at that place, will ever tell you, oh, the mic for this is number two, and it's this row. No one. And so 9 times out of 10, if I go up there, and I love these people, but it's a noisy place. There's pizza, there's people drinking, there's all kinds of shenanigans. It's a restaurant.
There's boxes going by.
If I go, where my voice sits does not compete well with a piano. It is not higher than it. It is not lower than it. The men, in general, I hear them very well. But depending on where you're... And this is not something you can control. It also has nothing to do with range. It's more like just your...
The instrument.
Your actual instrument will have like a natural resonance where you want to be most of the time. It's not even necessarily where you sing most of the time. It's just like a...
Or just where it's leveled, basically.
That's right. And between the fact that mostly I was, doing a Broadway show when I was introduced to Arturo's. So I was coming down there as an actress and then sitting in with the band. And then I would notice all these fluctuations in, it could be anything from confidence to mood to the actual sound system. But I would have people consistently say, Stephanie, I couldn't hear you. And I'm like, well, I don't want to scream.
Right.
Then I'd go up and I'd double up on my volume. And then it was Okay, now what?
He's playing
I'm
with
like,
you.
Damn it, what's going on?
He's playing with you.
You know what? They can't see this on the radio.
She just illustrated one friend you have.
Yeah, there we go.
And it's a kind of a bird.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And it ain't blue.
Between other friends that are sitting.
No, but that was very funny. Good one, Preston. I'm all into it. Don't leave me hanging. I'm into it. I come from a family of jokesters. That was very good. He's fiddling with that volume. But it took me so long to... Because I was actually very shy about, sitting in with these great professionals, mm-hmm. and then saying, hold on, can we check this? You know, just knowing in the moment how to check for certain things.
Technical things, you mean.
Yes, but mm-hmm. you see, in theater, we're handed a mic by a sound guy. Mm. That mic is anywhere between a couple thousand and $10,000 per mic, and we are taught to be very hands-off. So it's very different on a music gig.
Yeah, especially in Arturo's to interrupt you, but the PA system is very strange. And mm-hmm. I think the only person that knows how to work it is Scotty. But, you know, because mm-hmm. singers come in there and they turn the volume up and then they'll hold the mic and the mic feeds back into the speaker.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
it's a very weird kind of situation.
So is there a case like, did they ever... Any singers bring their own microphones?
No.
They don't do that?
Okay. There's a mic that the mics that we use are like $150, $200 mics.
Oh, okay.
And they've been dropped and there's lipstick on them. And I mean, it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
is that lipstick from you, Frankie? Yeah. Is that your lipstick?
Yeah. Not anymore.
You got up and sang a couple times, and he is very good, by the way.
You don't do that during Marion's workshop.
He also has a lot of potential as a tap dancer, and I keep encouraging. No, I'm not. Listen,
thank you, honey. Thank you.
Drummers and tap dancers are very similar.
It's all about rhythm.
You've
got
to know about the beat. Yeah. Where are your tap shoes, though?
I have to buy them yet. As soon as I make enough money to buy tap shoes, I want to buy them. It's like $125, right?
It's going to happen.
Anyway, so finish what you were saying.
Oh, no. I was just saying it's such an interesting, you know, when I look back, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Why didn't somebody help me? Is that what you're...
Well, no, I mean, New York is a very...
Town.
It's a competitive... Yeah.
But you get, in Arturo's specifically.
You learn by doing.
Mm-hmm. Specifically, sometimes the problem at Arturo's, if I may say, since I've been there for a while, is it depends on what night you're there. Because volume has a lot to do with Lisa, who owns it. She has very terrible ear problems. And if we're loud, it's like this, horn players don't come in when she's there because it can be very loud. So anyway, but we try to tend to the singers by giving them enough volume or turning them down. You know, like some singers come in and they don't need a microphone, and we put the microphone to them and they're blowing the place apart.
That is so true.
And but a lot of people, you know, have to get used to where it is, and you know, Pat will usually adjust it so that they can hear. Or, you know, or Scotty will do something. But, you know, for the most part, we do, the joy of being at Arturo's as a performer is they welcome people to come in. And everybody can sing, anybody can sing. And believe me, we've had anybody sing.
But remember,
a lot
Frankie,
of people have voices.
When I came
sing.
In with my friend, with Miriam Wax, you know, the partner of Alberto Piribi.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that night we came in for pizza, but she ended up doing like a whole set.
Yeah,
and,
she sang
and
a
with
lot.
An encore and everything, like in the middle of pizza. Like, that's how great it was.
Arturo's is definitely one of the most exciting places to possibly be, because every time you go there, it's completely different. You cannot repeat.
Now, this is the place we went to once evening with Marion.
We had a class there one Sunday.
We had a class there. You weren't there, though.
No, I probably wasn't there. Yeah. But the point is that when Smalls has some sort of a thing going on, he closes the place. Like, you know, like if Halloween was around, he would close. Mm-hmm. You know, some things, parades, he would close. And we do it at Arturo's, you know. Right. And Lisa, who absolutely loves Marion, loves when we do it, because she loves to have the people come in and sing, and there are customers coming in the middle of this whole thing. So it's really kind of neat, you know. And I'm really thankful to Scotty and Lisa for keeping. There goes my ride for people. For people to keep singing, and there's a siren going on. For people to come in and sing and perform and play and like that. So we have a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
I mean, Stevie Wonder's been in it. Stevie Wonder came in.
Wonder, wow.
Yes,
it's
a class. When was that? Yeah.
Long time ago.
Wow.
Stevie Wonder come in and
did you tell me the guys from U2? Right, didn't they show up?
Two guys from U2 came in and had dinner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a lot of celebrities come in, and we had. What's his name from Australia? James Morrison.
That's right.
Came in. And
his picture's on the wall.
His picture's
behind
on the wall.
You, behind the drum.
Behind the piano.
That's it.
And so, you know, we have a lot of people come in, and everybody is welcome to perform.
Wow.
And everybody can do it, you know, and we have a lot of fun with that. So.
And when I first went there, Harry Whitaker was still alive.
Oh, God, Harry.
he was incredible.
Harry. Harry Whitaker was, let me say, Harry Whitaker was a genius piano player who was Roberta Flack's musical director.
Oh, yeah.
And Harry was one of a kind. I mean, he really was. And between him and Barry Harris, those two guys grew up together. And Barry came in one night and was with Harry there. And I have a picture somewhere of that.
Yeah.
And it was just great.
That was your guy, man.
Harry was the man. And he was really tough with singers, too. But he was very, very good. But he knew his stuff, you know. And Harry was just
Simone,
beautiful.
Who's on our night, November 3rd.
Simone Parker. Right.
Oh, yeah. She was the bartender at
she's a barmaid there, yeah.
She sang a couple of songs that
day. And she had, Harry had really loved her voice.
He loved her. Yeah, he loved her.
She's adorable.
She's wonderful. She's really got a very mellow,
cool,
soft, very soft, beautiful voice.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
She sings with us well, if she's bartending, we have to wait till the bar is pretty much empty.
Right.
Then
yeah.
She'll sing. If she's waitressing,
but she's
going to
be
wait.
There Friday.
She's going to do she's going to do the gig on Friday. Yeah.
Great.
You, Stephanie, who else is going to be there?
I don't know. Just Simone. Stephanie,
a great singer, Joy.
Joy.
I don't know her last name.
No,
I'm blanking
it.
Out. But
I know
if
it.
It's the same Joy that I think it is, who
Joy
I heard
Brown.
In Harlem,
Joy Brown.
I believe so. Yes,
she's one. She's channeling. She channels. Dinah Washington when she sings. She's incredible.
God.
She really. What do you hear? She's really dynamite.
That's fabulous.
I love
That's
working
awesome.
With her. Yeah, she's.
Now, see, this reminds me from what you've all described. Sort of reminds me of the places I used to go in Harlem back then, like the jazz clubs back then.
Right.
Saint-Nix Pub and
Saint-Nix
Lounge.
Oh, right.
And, yeah,
yes,
like,
yes.
That's gone now. Like, it's all going downtown. I'm like, we got to bring a lot of these places back.
Well, you've had
Harlem.
The Showman. You've had places
the
up there.
Okay.
Showman's
yeah,
is still there.
Yeah.
I live
yeah,
right
still around.
Over there.
Yeah.
We must remind everyone at this
I
moment.
Thought Lennox Lounge was going to open back up. Wasn't there a plan
so
for that?
So I was
that?
Told, yeah.
No,
or,
not
I don't
really.
Know. I don't think they did. Yeah.
We'd like to remind everybody that you're listening to the Frankie Stick Show right here in New York live. And it's Wednesday night, and we're past halftime. But I want to remind everybody, it's City World Radio and cityworldradio.com. And if you want to have your own show, then go to www.cityworldradio.com. I'm sorry. AOL. AOL.
City World Radio, AOL.
Well, and leave a message
for Jack and Jill.
For Jack and Jill
Johnny
Mandolin. And you can have your own show and do what I'm doing. Have a bunch of people in, talk about what you love, try to help people out. It's nice. It's a lot of fun.
Yep,
it's what I love to do, and it's what I've been doing.
We still get a lot of slots. We still got a lot of.
You got a lot of openings?
Yeah, a lot of openings. So
beautiful. We're working on it. Right, Evelyn?
Oh, I'm waiting.
She's waiting for Jack to call
her. Hold my breath,
Don't hold your breath. Anyway, so we want to remind everybody that that's what you're listening to right now. We're glad to be here. And we're going to, how many countries now? 32?
Over like 40 countries.
40 countries and 130,000 people out there.
You know,
so I know you folks that are overseas are listening to us, can't partake in some of the shows that I'm promoting. But, you know, you can always listen to the show. It's on. On a The TuneIn app, or you can get it online, and you can listen to any one of anybody's show.
Right. Yeah, everything's archived.
It's archived, so you can just click on the radio. Yeah. The microphone.
But even if you're not from New York, if you're traveling over to New York, you now know how to experience real New York.
That's right.
The Empire State Building, where you can go hear some real music somewhere. So.
That's right. Smalls, Mesro, Fat Cat.
That's it.
And Smalls is also online.
Yeah, Smalls has a stream.
Oh, they're online. Okay.
So does Mesro.
Oh, they do. Okay, yeah.
Mesro's got a stream.
And I think Spike was working on not college program, some kind of academic program.
Yeah.
For a college overseas. I don't know what country it was. It might be Sweden.
He's very innovative. I like the
word. He's very innovative because he was really trying to expose people to real New York jazz so that they wouldn't always have to. Well, I mean, obviously, it's best to come here, but with that amount of money and planning and, you know, all the difficulties, it's nice that you can live stream what happens.
Right.
You know it.
That's the thing to do now. They have this site called Periscope. You can live stream in real time.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what he uses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a great service. But, yeah, livestream.com also, you know.
So, Kim.
Can we play another song?
Yes, ma'am. Yay! So I was going to ask you to do. What would you like to hear?
I want to hear, this is a song from Sade. It's an instrumental where I really highlight the musicians. And my vocals are kind of like in the background. But it's a rendition of No Ordinary Love.
Okay. Sade. Can you cue that up for us, Preston, please?
Wow. Track 6.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening.
I give you all the love I got. I gave you more than I could give. Say that a love like that won't last. Didn't I give
I know you're trying. I know. I can hear it in your voice. You're trying. I think I got it. I think I understand what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Now, when did you record this album?
You mean the vocals or
the whole thing?
Well, it started about 2013.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then in 2015, this song, I got an arrangement, had an arrangement by Paul Beaudry. And then I laid the tracks down, the vocals, and then the instrumental. And I produced it actually last month.
Wow. Good.
So everything converged, and I had the CD party at Cleopatra's Needle on September 27th.
So let's talk about.
I love that place.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Tell people how they can get it.
Oh, KimCameronJazz.com.
Kim Cameron.
After this week, the website will be live, and you can go right on there and purchase it.
Cameron, C-A-M.
E-R-O-N-Jazz.com.
E-R-O-N-Jazz.
KimCameronJazz.com.
The reason I asked you is because we just did this thing down in Nashville, and we recorded everything live.
Wow.
There's one overdub with a violin player that was done Friday after we left. So it was a trip to do the whole thing live, right there live, with no overdubs, you know. I mean, we punched in a couple of things, but for the most part, we're all playing live.
Wow.
And it's kind of an interesting way
experience.
To do it.
Yes, then
you know, laying down tracks.
So. Right, going into different. The studio. Yeah, maybe I might try that for this second CD. I'm already trying.
Well, I mean,
to
you don't have
that.
To. I mean, you know, it's everybody has a different way of approaching it.
But doesn't everybody eventually do that? The longer you've been around, that I mean, there was the famous Ella Fitzgerald, I think, live performance in Berlin.
Yeah,
but she forgot the words.
Yeah,
and it was
Mac
live,
the Knife,
and
right?
It, yes,
yeah,
and
Mac
it became
the Knife.
A classic. Right?
Yeah.
What did she do?
Scat?
What did she do?
Yeah, she just kind of improvised the words, you know.
Yep.
She made it up as she went along. Yeah. I remember that.
And
yeah.
she said, you know, forget it. And she kept going. Yeah, and it was all live. It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, the only person that really, that I can remember that always did live, right, there was Sinatra. He had the orchestra right in the studio. The whole 18, 20 piece, whatever it was, 30 piece orchestra, he did it live.
Okay.
And it, you know, it's just for me doing what we did with this little trio, it was nice because you could just feel what's going on right then and there. You know, I didn't have to go in and overdub it, you know, which felt good, you know. But for some people, they just phone it in. Dean Martin used to just phone it in, you know, he used to. He used to record the tracks. He'd go in the studio and lay the vocals down, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the older guys, you know. Yeah. The new people, I don't know what they do. I don't know.
The new people.
Auto-tune.
It's
this device they call auto-tune. And
auto-tune?
It automatically corrects your voice. It's a vocal correction.
Yeah, that's what, what's his name uses? That, yeah. That what?
Who?
Boobly.
Whatever. Oh, Michael Bublé.
No,
yeah.
He does.
Oh, yes, he does.
Well, you can hear it because it makes the sound a little metallic.
I don't want to hear it.
You don't like it, Frankie.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
It's so overdone. I agree. It's so overdone, like especially in rap and all this.
Sing,
stuff.
Man. You want to sing, man? You got to know how to sing. No, never mind that other stuff. You know,
that's right.
It's just me. The way I think.
I agree.
I'm old school.
Yeah,
you're classic.
Old school.
Me too. Absolutely.
But you know, but whatever.
Can you name, the tribe that you come from again? And just, I think Evelyn missed it.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
it's
yes.
From Rhode Island. It's the Wampanoag Nation. And we're not sure which tribe, but it is the Wampanoag Nation, and they're part of the New England tribes from Rhode
that's
Island.
That's fantastic. And I was wondering if that had an effect on your music or if you grew up with a kind of tradition or... How it comes out in your
music. Yes, because I do think of myself as very spiritual. My dad is actually African-American. So, you know, we have that combination of two groups that were excluded, if you will. And so being a survivor, still being here, I think of it as inclusion, you know. And I remember when I got to Germany, I was in Berlin. It was always amazing how... I just felt like a person of the world. I always think of people as my tribe, everybody, and I love everybody. I don't have boundaries where, you know, skin color or religion or politics or money or any of that is concerned. And I think American Indians have this whole sense of being included with animals and the air and the earth and all of that. And that's like a staple of it. And that kind of filters out.
But that's very similar to the indigenous in Australia as well.
Absolutely.
So it really resonates. And, you know, I think it's just more having the mainstream recognize that as well.
Yeah.
And that's been a big issue in Australia.
Yep,
but,
yep.
Yeah. You know, I know. Didn't he apologize, though, the president of Australia to the Indigenous people?
Yeah, look, it came with some nudging. Like, it probably came. It's a little bit too late. But yeah. I did want to ask you, do you have a musical family? Like, were you influenced by...
Not really.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
really the only one, and I'm trying to turn on my nephew here in the audience to as much music as possible.
Waiting for an album from you, sir.
Yes, yes. So I brought him to Marion's workshop and I'm just trying to give him lots of experience.
Oh, that's great.
But,
what do you want to do, like, if you wanted to, like, play an instrument or sing? Or, oh, okay.
He's a guitarist.
Right. Yeah, nice. Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be a brilliant scientist. I can feel it.
You see that?
Yeah. That's where it's coming.
First and foremost.
Slash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they are complimentary, you know. They are.
Yeah.
Science
and sciences.
Son of E.Y. Harburg is a scientist. Yip Harburg's son, Ernie, who I know, who's 90 now, but... And this is the man who wrote Over the Rainbow and all the Wizard of Oz
right.
lyrics.
Exactly.
And
I have that dog from that movie.
You do?
Yes, he's a Cairn Terrier.
Oh,
Toto.
Toto.
Oh, he's adorable.
Yeah, blonde. Big and blonde. I've had him 10 years. I love this dog.
Oh.
So, I just had a quick... sorry to not stop you guys. I just had a question about when was the first time that you decided that you wanted to sing, and where did that come from?
I was 14, and I was in Rhode Island at Central Junior High School. And back in those days, they used to do these talent shows where they would put the record player on and then put a record on.
Yeah.
And then they'd put three people
record
together.
Player, you realize we just lost half the audience.
Exactly. Sorry.
What is this ancient artifact?
Technology. And they grabbed me for a stylistic song. And said, you are going to be the lead singer, and it was a stylistic song.
Which one was it? Bachelor by Valley Wow?
You are everything. Remember that?
Yeah, that's it.
Check out the chords on Preston.
And I loved it.
That's great.
Oh, my God.
I am a singer. I keep it hidden, but yeah.
Yes, and they threw everybody into the auditorium. You remember what they would do. Okay, now we're going to have... Well, auditorium or gym, everybody had to go and line up, and they just had act after act, and we were like the fourth act. And I thought, I like this. I was terrified, but I liked it.
But you know how people, you know, because I was always a performer, even when I was a kid in school. I mean, in my early grades, I was a class clown, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And I always performed. Then we put on what used to be called the Ritz Brothers, who nobody knows, was in the 30s and the 40s. They were like the Marx Brothers. And they put on a show called Hell's a Poppin'.
And we
did the same thing in high school. We did a show called What's a Poppin'? You know, which was really kind of a spin-off on that.
Yep,
and
yep.
we did all kinds of bits. I did Jonathan Winters bits, and we did all kinds of stuff, singing. I was in a band, then the band performed, you know. It was really a lot of fun.
Cool.
It was a good thing. It was really cool. Anyway,
that was
so
a pivotal moment for me.
My childhood.
No, it's time for your tap dance career.
Time for my tap dance career.
Time for tap dancing.
Yeah, we got to say goodnight. What time?
Yeah,
is it?
I think I'm joking, but he's got
potential.
Stephanie is my biggest support. She really is. She's great to me. We would like to remind you that you have been listening to City World Radio at www.cityworldradio.com, and we've had our special guest tonight, Kim Cameron.
Yay.
And she has an album out called
Bluebird,
and you can get that at her website, which is
KimCameronJazz.com.
Tim Cameron, and we're going to perform with Stephanie and Kim at
Thanks, Steph.
And this is going to be at the
Steph's been waiting to do that. Like, she's finding a gap to do that.
All night long, yeah, right. You know. Oh, we're going to do this, the Sidewalk Cafe. 94 Avenue A.
Do you hear that? The sidewalk. We're going to be out on the sidewalk like bums.
That's no, okay. It's actually a nice place.
Oh, it is?
It's
okay.
Beautiful.
I'm so
I was here yesterday
now.
For rehearsal.
No.
I know it's nice.
94 Avenue A at the corner of 6th Street, Friday, November 3rd from 7 to 10.
Oh, great.
So come by. Stephanie's going to perform. Kim's going to perform.
Yay.
Other people going to perform.
I should check it out.
You should.
Yeah.
Just come on over. You're going to. Yeah. You haven't been to Arturo's in 7
years. I was about to say. Check out Frankie first.
They're still getting on me about that. I'm going to pop up. You know, I'm not even going to announce it.
scary thought.
I think, haven't I, Frank? Yeah. That's how we met.
This is how we met.
Magic happens there.
You want to meet beautiful girls? You come to our tour.
Oh, see, I'm missing out.
See, you're missing out. You're missing out.
Sweet talker.
Anyway, listen, we want to thank you all for listening. Please tune in on some of the other shows on this network. We have a lot of great people, Johnny and Nello. Including Preston's.
Including mine, yes. Tune in to Ever Funkin' On. If you love funk, all the classic jams, even like the new school jams, I'll play.
Really?
I'm actually doing a Bootsy Collins special pretty soon.
And
so
the Meters? You do the Meters?
Yeah, I'll do the Meters, like all the classic jams. Tune in to Ever Funkin' On Fridays at 6 p.m. Yes.
And Mia Berman's show, Johnny and Ello's show, and Frank's show, and Frank.
Up front with Frank.
Frank.
Frank Rothstein and.
Frank.
Oh, no. You're talking Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill. See what happens when you get old? You lose your mind. You just lose your mind. I want to thank you all for being here. Especially thank Stephanie for being here tonight as my co-host. And I want to thank Evelyn for stopping by.
I want to thank
Kim for coming in. Whenever you got something you want to promote, you let me know.
Okay, thank you.
And, of course, I want to thank Cody for showing up and support. And we want to also thank Preston. Thank Preston for doing the show for us.
Thank you.
We will see
you
soon.
Please pray for me. Please pray for me.
Next week, folks. Yes. Tune in next week.
Portable rehearsal space. Ready to record that hit? Want to learn new skills or repair an instrument? Host a listening party or just jam? Well, at Funkadelic Studios, we got you covered. Whether aspiring or renowned, join the funk fam today. We are conveniently located in the heart of Times Square at 209 West 40th Street on the 5th floor. For more information, check FunkadelicStudios.com. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. #FunkLifeNYC.
Hi, I'm Danny Aiello. You may know me as an actor, but one of the things that I'm most proud of is my service to this country. In the Army, I saw firsthand how training and discipline instill the values that create great leadership abilities and a can-do spirit. Those same strong values stay with service members when they return to civilian life and enter the workplace. So, remember to hire smart and bet on a vet. To learn more, call 888-